Today's episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by True Car. You know, it can be difficult to find clarity on what in the world Big Brother is trying to do with bringing in all these different people from different countries. But it can also be difficult to find clarity when you're trying to find the best price for shopping for a brand new car. But there's really only one place to get the most comprehensive car pricing information available, and that's TrueCar.com and the True Car mobile app. Because the truth is, prices can vary on a new car all over the board in your area. So when you know the car that you want to buy, there's only one place to go, True Car and the True Car app, because you'll have no hassles, no headaches, just the car you want at a price that you know you can feel good about, because people are saving an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP using True Car. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in that True Car Certified Dealer Network. You'll work directly with one of those certified dealers when you visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who was always told that the first sign of the apocalypse would be the appearance of one of the horsemen. And I do believe that we have reached that milestone. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our preview of Big Brother Canada 4. Can you believe it? What a world. Big Brother Canada 4, and we are here to talk about it. And we are very lucky because we have the Rob as a Podcast chief Big Brother Canada correspondent here with us today. You know him from, in addition to the reality TV Happy Hour, he also, did you know, appeared on Big Brother Canada 3. Here is our great friend, Jordan Parhar.
What's up, guys? Wow, Chief Big Brother Canada correspondent. Wow, Rob, I didn't realize I had this title, but thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Very strange, because I remember listening to, back in the day, driving to school, hearing Ian Terry do the Big Brother Canada 1 preview with you, then Brian Lynch in season 2, and then after season 3, listening to you and Mike Bloom do it. So it's very strange being on this podcast, but very excited to be here.
Nobody ever comes back for the Big Brother Canada preview, so we'll see if that's a bad omen for Jordan.
Yeah, it's like the Madden curse, so we'll see what happens after this.
The Big Brother Canada curse. All right, and then also joining us today, one of our esteemed Big Brother live feed correspondents, and he's also going to be keeping an eye on the social media and taking your questions and bringing them up on the screen, our good buddy Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. I'm excited to be talking Big Brother once again. It feels like it's been a long time, but it really hasn't been that long. I don't know.
Don't
why
you guys talk about Big Brother like every 4 days on a blab somewhere?
Yeah, that's if it's not a day, it's a lifetime, Rob. I got to talk about this stuff. It's fun for me. Yeah. Don't judge me.
I'm pretty sure I just watched you guys blabbing about the predictions for the cast release like 3 days ago.
Oh no, that was for Survivor, Rob. We did the Survivor, and then there was some other stuff, and there may have been like some underground podcast.
I think that's what I was watching.
May or may not have happened, but it is weird though. Like Alex has said, we haven't talked Big Brother in a while. We have talked like off season stuff, but it's different when you have new content and a new cast and stuff, and there's a different feeling about that. So I think for the both of us, I can speak on behalf of us saying that we're excited. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through all of the new contestants who are already in the Big Brother Canada house. Plus, we're going to talk about some of this crazy stuff that they're doing with voting two more people into the house. We'll go through all of that, tell you what you can expect, get you ready for what, the Wednesday premiere, Jordan?
Yeah, Wednesday, March 2nd, I believe at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, whatever that ends up being, same on the West Coast. On Global TV, same as last year.
Yeah. And so we are going to get ready for our coverage, which is going to look a little bit different, where I'm going to still be covering Big Brother Canada in a weekly format, but I'm going to turn over a good chunk of the Big Brother Canada podcasting to the guy who knows it. They used to say he knows it incredibly well. Now they say he knows it pretty well. Jordan Parhar on the reality TV Happy Hour.
Yeah, that's right. So we're are we going to publicly announce what our game plan is for that yet?
Well, I think we're still trying to nail it down, but I think that somewhere along the way, it looks like I'm probably going to end up doing something on Friday, probably around this time slot. This is probably like a good spot for me before we get into the amazing race coming up on Friday night. And then we'll take a look at trying to get, you know, best case scenario would be Jordan on the nights that the show is on, not competing with the sideshow. But we're going to talk about that. We'll nail it down by the time we get to the weekend. But Jordan, you're planning on going on after the show this Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, planning on going on after the show this Wednesday night. So we'll see. Just got to talk to Scott St. Pierre about that and stuff. But I would like to, and I haven't run this by Alex, Taryn, and Brent, but I would like to get those three on the panel just because I know most alumni are going to be at premiere parties that evening. But yeah, we'll just stay tuned for that. Should be good.
We'll put it, you know, Jordan and Scott and I are going to get our heads together over the weekend, and we'll come up with what the plan is going to be for the premiere week of Big Brother Canada. So we're very excited about that, but we needed to get on here today and talk about the cast preview before we got too close to this Wednesday night's premiere. So very excited about that. Jordan, for people who may not even know about reality TV or Happy Hour, how can people find out about when you're doing shows and how to listen to them?
Well, the easiest way is you can subscribe on iTunes to my show. So go to robhasawebsite.com/happyhour. So that's happy hour with an R at the front. Or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. And Reality TV Rehapups as well. If you follow our whole channel, you get my podcast. You get the Bachelor Rehapup from Amy and Haley. You get the Challenge Rehapup, which just the challenge is finished. So maybe not that for a while. But lots of great stuff. Top Chef podcast. robhasawebsite.com/rehapups.
Yeah, that's right. All right. That's right. And so I just wanted to make sure that we were ready so that we could be able to go right into talking about Big Brother Canada, because
does everybody want good TV?
Yeah. And we know we do. That's right. That's how we know it's time to get back into talking about Big Brother Canada. Of course, so Big Brother Canada is adopting the Big Brother US TV schedule, correct? It's going to the Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday format, which we followed all summer long last year for Big Brother. And that's the traditional US schedule. The big conflict for me is that Wednesday night is already Survivor night. So that's a good night for you guys who are in Canada, who have global, to get that Survivor at 8. Big Brother Canada at 9. Of course, you probably you got a real Rafe's choice to figure out what you want to do with Survivor know-it-alls and Jordan's coverage and all that stuff. But we'll leave that to you guys.
Yeah, we'll figure that kind of stuff out. And the other, the evictions are on Thursdays as well. So I think that works out well. I mean, if you want to catch my show, it'll be there for you in the morning. You don't have to see it live. Check out Survivor know-it-alls. You know, Rob and Steven, they know how to do it. It's great.
Yeah. Hey, and again, that's why it's a podcast. You can listen to it whenever you want to. All right. But if you want to be live, you'll have that option too. Okay. So let's get into talking about this Big Brother Canada 4 season and what they're trying to do, because I can't really wrap my head around what the idea is here, because we had the whispers earlier in the week that there was going to be some sort of stunt casting going on. They were going to be bringing in somebody from the Big Brother US. That whisper was sort of going around. And then there was a leak. Jordan, could you tell us how the news first broke about the return potentially of Jace Wiry to Big Brother?
Yeah, well, so what happened was they announced Arissa Cox had this promo. I think Global TV released it. I believe it was on Sunday. And they said, tune in on Tuesday. There's going to be the biggest announcement in Big Brother Canada history. And so I was getting excited. I thought, okay, well,
I felt like that was pretty hyperbolic. Was this the biggest announcement in Big Brother Canada history, that Jace might be on the show and some other people from International Big Brother?
Well, you know, honestly, though, like, let's think, in preseason, has there ever been there never really has been a big announcement? I guess maybe like the announcement of the triple eviction, or Arissa saying Topaz has voted for Jillian, if we want to count that as an announcement.
Yeah. Or we're going to bring, you know, somebody back from the jury. I don't know. I feel like that, you know, somebody may be voted into the house. I think, you know, it's not that impressive.
Yeah. I don't know. The show likes to kind of hype things up. You know what it's like.
You're a company guy.
I'm an ambassador for the brand. So I got to stick behind my boys and girls over that are working on this show. But Yeah, I would. It was a tad hyperbolic. We'll say that. But anyway, as I was saying, Robert. So Monday I came home from school and there was this leak that was all over the Big Brother subreddit. Shout out to those guys. And there was this screenshot and it said, here's what the twist is. Or there was a video. And basically after you watch a video, sometimes like on YouTube, it'll give you options of which videos to watch. Well, there were these still options of these international people. And I looked at it and I saw, okay, well, there's this Tim Dormer. I've heard of him. He's some Australian guy, Nikki Graham from UK, some Italian girl I've never heard of, and then Jace Wyrie from Big Brother 5 and Big Brother All-Stars, he's in the house. And I talked to Taryn, who's a video editor, and I said, Taryn, is this legit? Like, do you think this could have been photoshopped? And he said, no, I think that's looking pretty real. Sure enough, Tuesday morning they announced it officially. I guess that intern who accidentally leaked that got fired. I don't know what happened, but it was legit. Whoever started spreading those rumors, Alex, I don't know if he saw what the deal was. I think there was some guy on Twitter named BB Can Insider. There was some other person.
Is that the Redmond rumors of Big Brother Canada?
I guess that is the new Redmond of Big Brother Canada. But yes, he was. Yeah, he had some false information. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was mind blowing though. Crazy stuff. I thought those rumors are so crazy. How could that be legit? But here we are, Rob.
All right, let me also just set up. So we want to get your comments and feedback in the show as well. You could use the hashtag RHAP. Alex is going to be monitoring that very closely during this episode of the podcast. He'll let us know when we have something of note from you guys to add to the conversation. Plus, we are also going to be following the comments on our YouTube page at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Alex, what's your familiarity with some of these international Big Brother players outside of Jace?
Yeah, outside of Jace, it's pretty minimal. It's really just the extent of kind of conversations I've had with people who watched like Nikki Graham's UK season. The only BB UK I've seen is I watched Celebrity versions 11 through 15, in part because I wanted to see Spencer Pratt on there at the time. But yeah, Nikki is someone that I've just heard. I think Kirk Clark told me she's, you know, kind of like a Brittany Haynes type, only way more, you know, rambunctious and kind of very loud personality. So I don't know, she had a strategic mind though. So I don't know what Nikki's going to bring from that perspective. Victoria, the only thing I know about her is that she claims to have hooked up with both Mario Balotelli.
Veronica?
Is it, yes, Veronica?
It's Veronica.
We're doing the reverse of that joke.
Yeah, let's go with that. That was a joke, not just me making a grievous error. Yeah, so apparently she's hooked up with Mario Balotelli and his brother Enoch, and that strikes me as incredibly interesting. You know, I mean, obviously, like, it is one of those things, maybe it's like, you know, a story that you want to share, but then it's like, I don't know, is it? Maybe it helped her get cast.
No, Jordan, the idea to bring in international Big Brother contestants here, I mean, what are they going for with Big Brother Canada? I can't imagine that. I mean, especially because we're not trying to, you know, it's like impossibly difficult for people outside of Canada to even access this show. People have to go to all, from what I hear, people go to great lengths to try to watch this show by hook or by crook. And so it's, you know, you're not bringing in an international audience. I mean, why do this?
Well, I think, and that's a great question. I think everybody is wondering that. I know I was, and a lot of former alumni were wondering that. And I thought at first, okay, they're going to be opening it up to international audiences. And turns out they're not. It's staying in Canada. So begs the question, what's the deal here? I think really what they're looking at is, we've got two out of these four, we've got two people, maybe we want to count Jace, but two people who are excellent personalities. They are great television. They have been widely popular in their countries, in Tim Dormer, the winner of Big Brother 10 Australia from 2013, and Nikki Graham from the UK, who has played, she's been a part of three different versions of, or seasons of that show. So I feel like they are really just trying to get some interest. They're hoping that these two people that go in are just going to be excellent TV, because Rob, as we've discussed earlier, we want some great TV. And I think I don't know this for a fact, but just looking at the cast, if we look at it, there's a lot more recruits this season than normal. And if we look at the Canadian population, we've got a tenth of the population of what you guys have down in the States. So I think the casting pool, it's going to get tougher and tougher to find really good people. And I think that's kind of why they want to get these people in there. They want to make sure that they've got two standouts on this season, and they're hoping that this is going to pay off for them. It's very risky. Is it going to work? I don't know. I think it would have paid off a little bit more if they would have maybe somehow put together some sort of deal where we can get Big Brother Canada airing in the UK or in the Australia, okay, or some option at least for these fans to watch.
So I'm looking at it through the wrong lens, because I'm looking at it from the marketing standpoint of, I'm saying, like, if they want to do something that's going to get ratings, that's going to help the show and get people to tune in on night one, like, why not just go with four celebrities at this point instead of people from international audiences? Like, how many people who follow Big Brother UK are in Canada? Is that really going to move the needle? But if you're saying that they just are looking for people who are going to give us,
does everybody want good TV?
Okay, well, maybe then I could see the logic in that.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going with it. And also, too, I think this opens a lot of doors now. I think that, you know, some people are hurt. They aren't happy with it because this is Big Brother Canada. We're only the fourth season and we're already reaching out to other countries to make our show better. But at the same time, I just want to see the best show. And if these people put on a great show, I think it's going to be worth it. And it opens up the door, Rob, to potentially doing a Big Brother Canada versus a Big Brother US someday, as Dr. Will Kirby, he threw that out there last summer. So I think that would be very entertaining and interesting to see maybe in a few years down the road.
Jordan, what's the vibe in Canada on the streets right now? Are the Canadian people upset that people, that immigrants are moving in and taking the spots of people in the Big Brother Canada house?
Rob, out on the street, just like Jeff Probst. I think in general, the people are not the most happy about it. Just the people that I've talked to, just casual fans that I know are confused by it. They don't get the commercials and all the advertising because they're really pumping this international wildcard thing hard. The alumni are not too thrilled from this as far as I know. But I think
the alumni,
once we get the, Yeah. I think in general, those are like a lot of the people that I've talked to about it. And some of them have been not the most thrilled about this idea because they're skeptical like you. They've got questions. But I think once these guys get in the house, I think it's going to be different. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to work out.
Okay, let's talk this through. Let's go through these people one at a time. Of course, we'll start with our four international people vying for two spots. Of course, this first battle is going to be a head-to-head matchup, Jace versus Tim. Let's start with the return of Jace to Big Brother, because this is something that I thought that we might never see. I can't believe it's happened. Here is Jace Wiry, last seen on Big Brother All-Stars. What is that? Back in the summer of 2006, Jordan?
Summer of 2006. So it'll be 10 years ago this summer, which is crazy.
So random. I have to feel like that this has to add fuel to the fire of a Big Brother All-Stars being on the horizon at some point, because this feels like that they put in a call and they said, okay, we want somebody from Big Brother US. And they said, okay, you can't have anybody that we're considering for a future Big Brother All-Stars. like take out the A list, they got the B list, they got the C. Okay, here you go. Like, what do you want?
Jace Wiry.
Jace or Mike Lubinsky?
Yeah.
Man, tough call.
Mike Lubinsky would have been great. Oh, my gosh. Although Mike Lubinsky's got to be in his 50s at this point. I think honestly, Rob, I think that Jace was put in there because they wanted someone from the U.S., but they didn't want the person to actually get in. Because if they would have put anybody from the last two or three seasons
Jordan. Are you implying that Jace is about to be backdoored by Big Brother Canada?
Unfortunately, yes. Our good buddy Jace Wiry, third time's the charm for him. Not for him, unfortunately. He's going to get backdoored again.
This is the six-finger plan?
Yeah, the six-finger plan from the Big Brother Canada producers. He's not going to get in. I mean, they want – Tim is clearly – I think if we look at these two people on paper, I personally – am supporting Jace. I would love to see Jace on the show and have him get another shot. But I think Tim is better television. Tim has been on reality TV more recently. He's more beloved by the international community. And I think in general, I think the production likes him more. So I think they're hoping he's going to get in. How do you make sure he gets in? You put in somebody who has very little chance, Jace Wiry. And I think that's why he's here. Jace is here for the paycheck. He said he's selling tacos or burritos out of his truck. So I'm sure he could use this money. He'll go back home to somewhere in California. I don't know where he lives. Or maybe he was from Illinois, I think, initially. But yeah, Jace, he's got no shot, unfortunately. Unless, you never know. We could get surprised from the casual fans, but I'm skeptical.
Alex, do you see it the same way? Is Jace a patsy here?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really think of it that way. What Jordan's saying does make a lot of sense, though. I mean, I think a large part of it is I just don't have the knowledge of Tim Dormer and kind of, you know, his background. But I have heard, you know, kind of that echoed from a lot of people. So I think even though I'm, you know, voting for Jace and, you know, the limited amount of voted, I certainly think that Tim is the heavy favorite if Vegas was giving odds at this point.
Now, this vote is going to run through the premiere, correct? That I know that voting on is happening online, but it's going to go through the first episode, Jordan?
Yeah, so the voting it stops, I believe, shortly before the live show next Thursday. So on March 3rd is when it ends. So they'll show one episode with Jace and Tim, Nikki and Veronica, give people, the casual viewer, a chance to vote, and then we'll see what happens. But I feel like by the time that even happens, what Canada has to say isn't going to matter, because this vote is open to anybody across the world. So that means people in Australia can vote, people in the U.S. can vote, people in the U.K. can vote, and the Australian fans and the UK fans are very supportive of Nikki and Tim. So I kind of already think it's going to be game over by the time it gets to that point.
I mean, but isn't it a tease for the Big Brother fan that you're going to bring in somebody from the Big Brother US and potentially like, oh, okay, here's at least somebody I know, and then rip that dream away from them?
But let's think about this, right? I mean, the casual fan of Big Brother, you know, Canada, who's seen Big Brother US, they're not going to remember who Jace is. I mean, the only people who know who Jace is are the diehard fans who are already looking at these cast bios and previews and all that kind of stuff. I don't think the, Joey Jojo Jr. Shabity watching this show after the premiere is going to be too bummed when he finds out that Jace does not get in the house, because frankly, he doesn't remember Jace. Jace is, you know, he hasn't been on the show in 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, I think they probably thought of that demographic and was like, oh, those seven guys will watch anyway. It's fine.
Let's talk about Jace's look here. He comes back a little bit of a different body type here for Jace. I believe that June Song said on Twitter he looks like a ripped homeless guy. That's what he's going for. Mandana still in place over here. I'm wondering, though, I've had this theory for a long time about that Brett Michaels wears a wig. Do you think, is that what's going on here?
I don't know. I think Brent Wagamot and I were talking, and Brent was he was questioning the hair quite a bit. So
the legitimacy of said hair.
What's that?
The legitimacy of said hair, or yes. That he just felt like it was
both, I think, frankly. I think Jace kind of had a pretty thick head of hair, though, and he was like 28 when he first played. So I don't know. I'll say it's real.
Yeah. And as much time as he spent primping it, I got to think Jace is one of those guys that would, you know, take care. He would be more proactive than I was in getting plugs or whatever he needs to do. So,
all right. Well, in terms of Jace, now I used to, I had met Jace a couple times back in around the summer, the first year that I moved out to Los Angeles, that when Jace and Holly were coming off of Big Brother US 5, and they really felt like that they were the bee's knees, that they were going to be the new it couple, and they were on their way to being some sort of like a pre Brendan and Rachel, pre Jeff and Jordan, before that was ever a thing. And so Jace and Holly were like moving around, and back at the fishbowl, they were coming around, and like, you know, they were really like, they were, the fishbowl was trying to do something with them, but they were very tough negotiators, Jace and Holly, and they would not meet their demands for what they wanted to do. I do remember one idea that Jace had in some sort of like I think they wanted to do a reality TV show. And I think the one idea that Jace had was he wanted to go to the Home Depot and hire a bunch of, you know, they have it a lot out here in Los Angeles. I'm not sure if they have it in other cities. A lot of people who are sort of the undocumented workers that are here from, we're trying to find work in other countries, ironically, as Jace is trying to do right now in Canada. And he had an idea for, he wanted to like hire some of these workers, like to come to his house and hang out with him for a day and film that.
Just to hang out with him?
Yeah, that was his idea. Like, pick those guys up, hire them to come hang out at his house with him for the day.
Was he gonna call it Naked and Afraid?
I don't know what they'd call it, but I mean that he does. I think that he is somebody who will be trying to entertain the viewers in the house.
Oh, absolutely. If he gets in, he says that in his video. He says, he said, don't get addicted to drugs, kids, because you're going to get addicted. I'm going to make you addicted to Jace. That's what he says. He says he wants to be entertaining. His strategy, if he gets into the house, is he's going to be going down, he's going to be going skiing down a mountain in water skis. So he's not going to have like the right equipment that he should be using. He said he's going to be all over the place, but he just wants to have fun. So kind of like Jinja Ninja almost a little bit. Maybe a little more strategic because he's played the game twice already, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I do think that he's a smarter guy, with all due respect to the great Jinja Ninja, that I feel like that Jace's thing, I feel like he's like smarter than he lets on. I think he is playing a character a bit more than he like wants you to think that he's like this dumb bro. But I do think he's a little bit smarter than he lets on. Maybe not as smart as he ultimately thinks he is, but I do think that he's smarter than the persona he portrays in these games.
Right. And I think we saw that a little bit on Big Brother All-Stars. I mean, he got backdoored in week three during the infamous Dr. Will's I Hate You All speech that week when James Ryan was HOH. I think that Jace actually, I mean, if you look at him there compared to what he was doing in Big Brother 5, I think he had a lot more going on. And I think he picked up a lot more. Give him an extra 10 years, mm-hmm. definitely matured a lot. So I could totally see that. I think if he does go in, I think honestly, of all of these people, as much as I don't think Jace has a chance at getting in, I think he might have the best chance at doing well at this game, because Big Brother US is the most similar to Big Brother Canada of all of these international formats. And therefore, what he's done already would translate well to this format.
Alex, is it fair to say Jace is to Big Brother Canada 4 as Jim Rice is to Survivor Cambodia?
Yeah, maybe fair. Although I saw something that was, you know, who posted it on Facebook? I think Shane Powers posted it on Facebook yesterday, and he believed it was the actual official vote, and the last place vote getter was Max Dawson. So maybe that's fair as well. I don't know.
I don't know. So we'll see. So let's talk about Tim, and then let's sort of do the compare and contrast. So I don't know much about Tim at all from Big Brother Australia. Jordan, what do you know about Tim?
So, yeah, so Tim was the winner of Big Brother Australia in 2013. So that was season 10 of their show. And that show has now been canceled, unfortunately. But Tim is very popular, one of the most popular reality TV people from Australia. He's somebody who gets, he's actually like, you know, people go on Big Brother here in North America, and people like Liz Tin think they're going to be a big deal or whatever, and then they're not a big deal, so they break up and things go on. Tim actually is somewhat of a big deal down under, so it'll be interesting to see what he does in this house. He was very mischievous in the game. He got some tasks when he was on Big Brother Australia. He had this one infamous one where Big Brother offered him one of his housemates, Tahan. She had her favorite hair dryer that she really wanted for the whole season, and he could have it and give it to her, or Big Brother was going to give him his favorite tub of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and he could eat that all to himself. You have to go watch the video on YouTube to see it, but it's very hilarious. He's a very funny guy. He ultimately ate the ice cream and like rubbed it in her face, and was very funny.
Literally or figuratively?
No. He went and he said, "Hey," he's like, "Do you want to lick the rest of the?" He grabbed the Ben and Jerry's, went up to her and he said, "Yeah, I had this option to give you your favorite hair dryer, or another option, and I decided to take the ice cream." But he's like, "You can lick the rest of this ice cream out of the tub if you'd like." So he was just messing with people. So he's a very witty, funny guy, a little strategic, which during his season of his game, I mean, I never watched it. This is just stuff from what I've seen and what I've heard. So I think that he could translate somewhat well to this game. But the formats are very different. And I think that, you know, annoying people like he was doing in Big Brother Australia, that's not going to help you win. If that was the way you win in Big Brother, Zach Rantz would have been the winner of Big Brother 16, and he wasn't. So he's going to have to change things up a bit, and it'll be interesting to see if that's what he's capable of.
Okay, couple things. Big Brother Australia, do they play by the same rules as Big Brother UK?
I don't know if it's exactly the same, but yes, very similar. So you get, you know, you nominate people with like points and then the public votes.
Could you give us a comparison of a Big Brother Canada or US player that would be similar to Tim that we can wrap our heads around him?
Tim is not like anybody I've ever seen on one of these shows. Mm. I mean, he's out there. He's different.
Combine people.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I can. I mean, he's kind of like...
All right, chat room, you get in on this too.
Yeah, chat room, get in on this. I don't know. Because
all right, let's take a question then. Okay, so here's that. Alex has a question for us. Okay. Alex, what do you got?
So this is from Fan K-A-B-B-U-S. And she says, I like this international twist. I've always thought Tim would be great at BBK and BBUS, so I hope we get to see that. So that's a little insight from someone who maybe has actually watched them.
Okay.
I have not.
We'll see.
Yeah, the comparison to me, like, it's almost like when you're trying to compare someone to Coach in Survivor, there's just one Coach. You can't,
what about
you
Debbie?
Can't compare. I guess there's Debbie, but, you know, but even Debbie's different.
Coachella.
It's Coachella. Tim's his own dude. You'll see when he gets in there. He's very out there. He's different. He likes to, you know, he's an interesting guy.
Okay, so what percent certain are you that Tim will be the pick and not Jace?
I will say, I'll say 90%.
90%
is going in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then is there a tell that we should look at in the video package of how we've seen Canada? I mean, I do feel like that Canada, in the ways that they have voted, that they tend to vote extremely in the favor of the face. Like, they have not ever adopted like the 90s attitude era of wrestling type people, correct?
Yeah, correct.
You know, they like their good guys in Big Brother, in Big Brother Canada.
They do like their good guys, but also too, I mean, let's think about the last time we had one of these votes for one of these seasons, Big Brother Canada 2, we have the secret room, and I think everybody thought there was Nate, Scott, and Allison to get in the house. Clearly, Scott was the biggest personality of the three, but he didn't get into the house because Allison was somebody who on the feeds was talking a lot about how much she loved the show. She was a super fan. She loved Dan and Dr. Will and all this kind of stuff. So really, it was the online community who pushed that vote and pushed Allison.
But was there a real alternative there to Allison?
Scott was, a lot of people wanted Scott in there, Rob. A lot of people wanted Scott. I thought he was getting in. My people that I talked to at the time thought Scott was getting in, but online and on social media, everybody was pushing Allison.
I think that Canada has voted for whoever is the most wholesome, likable person. I think that tends to be what they have voted for in the past.
Well, I think in here, I mean, let's look at Tim and Jace. I mean, Jace, we got these clips of Jace. Jace was a villain when he was on the show. Yeah. So here's Tim. Tim's getting in.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see exactly what happens. So Jordan Parhar is projecting the Nate Silver of Big Brother that Tim will be getting into the Big Brother Canada house. All right. Let's move over to the other side of the aisle, the Veronica / Victoria versus Nikki. And then let's start off with Veronica. All right. Tell me about Veronica from Big Brother Italy.
Okay. So Veronica is from, so Big Brother Italy. I believe the name is Gran Fratello or Fratello. Yeah.
I don't think it's Gran Fratello.
No. Gran Fratello 13. That was the season she played on in Italy. It was in 2014.
Grande Fratello.
Yeah. However you say it. I really don't know much about Veronica because there is such a little information about her. Alex went on a little bit about that scandal with the soccer players. She was also, I believe, she was in Playboy or something. She did some sort of something like that.
Playboy or something.
Yeah, you can Google. She's
wait before
she's
or to, after this month.
I believe it was before.
Well, before, okay.
Yeah, so it's good. So you'll see. Yeah. But the thing with her is, even in her videos and in her bio, we get so little from her because there's a big language barrier with Veronica. She struggles with English. She can definitely speak English and understand stuff, but she isn't. She's the exact opposite of Jordan Parhar. I am a very verbose person. I talk way too much and I say way more than I need to say, and people get annoyed by it. The opposite of that is Veronica just saying, you would ask her, okay, Veronica, well, like, what's your strategy for the house? And her strategy was like, I'm going to be nice. Like, that's pretty much all it is. Very bare bones. Don't really know too much. She was out, I think, second on her Italian Big Brother season. So, again, I think this is somebody who's here she's going to have a good time. She'll enjoy sequester. It's a fun time. You get some good food. You get to hang out with some people, whatever. Mainly on your own. But, she's going to do that. Hang out in Canada for a bit. Go back to Italy, get her money, and that'll be it.
So are you saying that you feel like Veronica is also here to be a patsy?
Yeah, I totally do, because I think that it's clear that I think Nikki and Tim are the most popular people. Nikki is one of the most beloved Big Brother people on this planet. A lot of people love Nikki. The Miz, Rob, said that Nikki Graham is the greatest reality TV person of all time. He didn't say himself. He said her. So that's telling you something. So I really do think
The Miz.
High praise from The Miz, which is very reputable source.
He's been WWE champion. What have you done, Jordan?
It's true. I've done nothing. I totally think Veronica's here because they needed to find someone, make it a little bit interesting. And Nikki's going to get it.
All right. So, Alex, we shouldn't get to know anything about Veronica here.
It is frustrating. But yeah, Jordan does paint a pretty clear picture, I think. There's probably elections that go on in Iran that are less fixed than this thing right here at this point.
All right, so it seems like it's a stacked deck against Veronica. So it seems as though Big Brother Canada is really putting all the eggs in the superstar Nikki Graham basket. So let's talk about Nikki Graham. Tell us about the greatest reality TV star of all time, according to Mike the Miz.
Well, I also, like Alex, don't have the most familiarity with Big Brother UK or Big Brother Australia. I'm a Big Brother North America guy. So I reached out to Kirk Clark and Mark Solera, asked them what their take was on Nikki. Both of them said she's like Brittany Haynes, but on steroids. Now, I've gone back and watched a lot of footage of Nikki. I believe her first season of Big Brother was also 10 years ago. And then she was on Big Brother 7 UK, then Big Brother 16 UK. And then she was on a season last year called Ultimate Big Brother, where she didn't actually participate. She was just in the house with the other housemates. She's very crazy and over the top. It's kind of like, Tala was really out there on Big Brother Canada 1. Nikki is even more intense than that. She would throw tantrums. She screams. She throws things. She swears at Big Brother. She swears at other people. She's all over the place. But at the same time, I think Nikki knows what she's doing a little bit, because from her interviews, you can see that she is a stable person, even though she doesn't really seem like the most stable person when she's in the house. There was a few times where she had a breakdown. It looked like she kind of had, it was, she was like in the exorcism, like she was like crawling around and like moving things and just how she was jerking her body. It was very strange and crazy. You can look it up on YouTube. But I think she's going to be very entertaining in the house. She's going to bring a lot of drama. She's going to be great on the feeds. And as soon as she goes on slop, I think she might lose her mind, which will be fun.
So do you feel like that these international imports have a actual chance to win? And have you gotten any sort of sense if they're going to be playing a different game than the people who are playing the traditional Big Brother Canada game?
So based on what I've seen from the videos, these guys are playing as house guests. So they're going in as new players. So, I think Tim does have a chance to win this game. I think that he can figure stuff out. Based on the whispers I've heard, Tim was doing his homework before going into this season. So he was researching Big Brother Canada and how to play the game and that kind of stuff, making alliances, that sort of deal. Although he did say he wants to go in as a kind of like a lone wolf. Nikki, on the other hand, I don't know. Are we going to get Nikki from her interviews, or are we going to get Nikki we've seen from these past Big Brother seasons in the UK? She's a little more mature now. She's in her 30s, so she's not going to be as crazy as she was when she was first on the show. At least I don't think so. But strategically, I can't really see Nikki winning this game. I really don't think so, unless twists are very prevalent, which, hey, we know Big Brother Canada loves those twists and she gets a lot of help along the way, or maybe she teams up with Tim. I'm not too sure. If I was to put my money on someone, it would be Tim. Is he my front runner pick or one of the favorites? I don't really think so.
Okay. All right. So we'll see ultimately how this is going to play out. We should know in the next 5 days or so. Ultimately, do you think that we will have our international person in the house by Thursday, Jordan?
Yeah. So I think what'll happen is I believe they are entering the house the Thursday night. So I think someone's going to walk out the door and these two are going to go right back in. And Larissa will be like, all right, guys, time for a twist. I don't know who the twist sponsor is this season. I don't think it is Twistos anymore, but whatever it is, it's a blank twist. Nikki and Tim are in the house. Let's make it happen. They'll play the HOH and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our new players that we're going to be seeing this season. People who have never appeared on any edition of Big Brother before. This is really in the order that they are listed on the global TV website on the house guest page. No particular order for me, and I'm not even sure why they put them in the order that they're in. It doesn't seem to be alphabetical or anything like that. But let's just go ahead and go through it. Jared Kessler. Also, Jordan, I know that you are working on a Big Brother Canada draft, so we will not be doing that here today. When's your Big Brother Canada draft going to be?
So Big Brother Canada draft for BB Cam 4 is going to be tomorrow. So this Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. So I will be joined by Willow McDonald from Big Brother Canada 3, Netta Kalantar from Big Brother Canada 2. And since there's an international twist on this season of Big Brother Canada, we brought in an international house guest to come in on the draft. So Jason Roy from Big Brother 17 and a Big Brother historian and expert on international Big Brother will be joining us. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Let's talk about Jared. He is the pipeline worker from Winnipeg. They call him, they have a log line on the website for each person. This polite pipeline worker is a brawny sweetheart who will charm the pants off all the house guests. Oh my God. Wow.
They really do love Jared. He is somebody who,
you know, not for anything. That these days, ideally, you don't want to say that Jared and getting anybody's pants off in the same sentence. That's phrasing, Big Brother Canada. Yeah. I see in the chat room, Ryan Hilliard is saying Jared is Emmett. Yeah, I was calling Jared in my notes, New Emmett.
New Emmett. See, I was actually calling him New Zach. I think he's a lot like Zach Olenek. I think, you know, maybe a little bit. I could see, you know, Emmett and Zach. I think they both work that comparison. But yeah, Jared's a guy who hasn't really seen, I don't think he's seen really any of Big Brother Canada at all. He has seen Big Brother US, although in his interview, there was a bunch of interviews done done by Matt Carter, friend of the show, on his website, cartermatt.com, if you want to check those out. And he talked to Jared, and Jared said that the person from Big Brother US that he would compare himself most to is Beast Mode Cowboy. And and we know that's probably not good for his game if he's saying he's like Beast Mode Cowboy.
Well, he'll knock it out of the park on Survivor, maybe.
Maybe on Survivor Canada. Maybe he'll beat Tyler Kakuno on Survivor Canada All-Stars.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Let me just also set up. So not a ton of information out there about the Big Brother Canada guests. Like a lot of times in the Big Brother US, we get like there's media day and we have all these things and we're going through everything that's available. Big Jeff wants to know who's single and ready to mingle and whether Rachel Riley and Ryan Carrillo and all these different people go and talk Big Brother Network. You know, there's many interviews we have to choose from. It seems as though the Big Brother Canada interviews, they got video with everybody. Apparently they shot this video on Snapchat. I think it's basically like a 10-second video. If you want to pause the show right now, you could go watch all of the videos and come back in 2 minutes and you'll be ready to go after you watch all 90 seconds of the Big Brother Canada video. So we don't have a ton to work off of.
No, I mean, well, there's about like a minute or so from each of these people. And then there's also, I believe
that might be something in the conversion of maybe a Canadian minute is like a US 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. You know, your dollar is higher than ours. Our seconds are longer than yours. There were some other videos as well on Big Brother Daily uploaded some too. So there was that. But yeah, the media day for Big Brother Canada, not as huge as it is for the US. So we are working with not a ton of stuff here on all of these newbies.
Yeah, we have none of the very fancy hotel room videos that we had of the Big Brother Canada 3 cast. that won America's hearts with his audition video spoof of.
Yeah, we don't have me going like, doing the terrible dance moves or like this or whatever, dancing to One Direction.
Yeah.
They decided to get rid of that this year, which it's too bad because I kind of liked, Godfrey's was fun. I really liked watching Godfrey's after the season. Mind you, Godfrey's just great at everything.
All right, Alex, what do you think about Jared Kessler? Is he a contender or a pretender?
So I don't want to jump to, I don't see the beast mode cowboy thing. I don't think a man should be judged by the size of his belt buckle. I think I definitely saw the Emmett thing. And it's so funny that you mentioned Zach, because I was thinking Emmett, but boring. And if you know me, I mean, I always talk about Zach as Captain Vanilla. So I think that's just perfect. That really is like,
you're going to hurt Jordan's feelings.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It is what it is.
It's a risk I'm willing to take, Rob.
Wow.
Zach's my buddy, but I do hear you. Zach's, I think Jared seems like a nice guy. I think 100% though, this guy's getting a showmance without a doubt. Oh, yeah. He's getting a showmance. No question. He said in his video, he was like, it's going to be boring in there. So, I don't want to get a showmance, but, I guess I will. If I have to, I'll talk to some girls. Basically, the exact same thing that Zach Olenek said last season. Right. So,
I mean, yeah. Isn't there every chance in the world, like, lock it in, this guy's in the final six?
Yeah, if we go on Big Brother Canada history, yeah, I think this guy's going to go deep. I think he's, he says in his bio, he's a polite guy. He's nice. He's somebody who I think a lot of people are going to get along with. He's a good looking dude. He's going to get this showman. He'll probably get invited to the Bro Alliance. So yeah, I think Jared's going to he'll definitely make jury. Could see him going to top six. Can he win? I don't know. We'll see if he can pick things up as the game moves on.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that he checks all the boxes of people that do great on Big Brother Canada, clean cut, likable, polite. As long as he doesn't like over bro down early on and create some sort of new first five or, one of these other horrible alliances, I think then he's going to be okay. I think he's going to do very well.
How dare you, Rob? The first five had a runner-up in it. Come on, man. Sabrina, are you forgetting about that?
Yeah. All right, that's Jared.
Enjoy it, though, if we end up getting people calling him Beast Mode Pipeline Worker. I'd be totally on board with
that. Yeah, he went to Jared. All right. Let's talk about our next person, and her name is LaVita. Livin' LaVita Adams. Okay, she is, according to the global website, she's passionate and bursting with energy. Hopefully, unlike Jared's pipeline, he's got that pipeline bling. Passionate and bursting with energy, this independent girl plans to make and keep many promises as possible to build trust in the house. So she's got sort of an odd strategy that she talks about how she's planning on building promises. I mean, she's going to make promises to people and then she's going to keep them. Like, for instance, she's going to say to people, hey, at 2:30, I want to do your hair. And then she plans on keeping that promise so that people say, boy, LaVita, when she puts her money where her mouth is, when she says she's going to do something, she does it. She told me that she was going to meet me out back at 3:00 and there she is. So I'm going to make a deal with her.
But it's funny. She did talk a lot in her interview. In some of her interviews, she said how she's got this twofold strategy. One, the first part is yes, making these promises with people. That goes to whether it's doing their hair or saying, hey, you've got my vote this week. I promise you, I'm going to vote with you, whatever. And I actually don't think that's the worst strategy in the world because, psychologically, if somebody is promising you things and they keep coming through for you, that shows that that person is loyal and they're willing to do things. Now, as long as you're not making too many promises, then
yeah, but these promises are dumb. It's like, hey, do you want me to go get you a drink? And then you come back with it. It's like, boy, that guy is really very trustworthy.
I did make that drink. I told you I would, and I did it.
Right.
But I think she's thinking about it more in a strategic sense. She's going to make – that's what she's meaning. Maybe I'm overthinking this a little bit. But she also did talk about how she wants to spend a lot of one-on-one time with people, get to know people on a personal level. And if you know me and how I play Big Brother, that was a big part. I think I'm a huge fan of that. I think that's a really, really key thing to winning this game is these personal relationships. And she comes across as very warm, and I think that's really important. The thing that scares me about her is she's very – analytical, and I could see her going in and being a little too aggressive. I could see her doing something like maybe not as bad as Joey on Big Brother 16, but I could see her doing something like that and get, you know, maybe like a Cat Yee, and I could see her becoming an easy target early. I don't think that's going to happen because she said she doesn't want to get into an all-girls alliance because she doesn't think that girls can work together, which I also disagree with that, but we can talk about that later. But I could see her, yeah, the first five type of deal, that's actually something I could see her getting into, and that maybe could ultimately lead to her downfall.
Alex, what are you seeing about Lovita?
Yeah, you know, I don't love the idea. I mean, I'm with Jordan in the sense that, you know, it's a good idea. Obviously, you want to make those connections. You talking about that is always a good sign. But I just think, yeah, I mean, promising people things is like, I think it's like a, you know, low reward, high risk type of move, because the first time you can't follow through, like, let's say you said you'd make this guy a sandwich at the same time you said you'd make this girl, you know, you get her bath ready. You know what I mean? And then you can't deliver on one of them.
What is she, like, the housekeeper?
It's like, out of,
no, we have a housekeeper already on this season, Rob, so we don't need Lovita for that.
Well, I figured her plan was to start small, so I was trying to think of, you know, the little things. But yeah, I mean, I don't see a lot of upside to it. And then, you know, obviously we don't have a lot to go on, but I read about, you know, how she loves Brittany because she was, quote, so good at putting her emotions aside to get herself to the end of the competition. And I just feel like she misinterpreted what was going on last season, because if I had to describe Brittany, I would say she was so bad at putting her emotions aside to get herself to the end of the competition.
Yeah.
Okay. But the one thing I will say about Lovita is that in her interview with Matt Carter, she did say that Derek Lavasser is somebody who is one of her favorite players and she wants to play like. So, I mean, if to counter that, Alex, I will say, in fairness, you know, Derek is, you know, she's probably not going to be Derek because no one's Derek. He's one of the best Big Brother players of all time. But at least she recognizes what he did. And I think that's a good sign, because I think there's some people on this cast, actually quite a few people on this cast, who have no idea who Derek Lavasser is. And that is a very bad sign.
I think she's kind of middle of the pack. Jordan, where do you see her?
I'm going to say, yeah, I'll say she makes the jury. I don't think she's going to win this game, unfortunately. I think she's got potential, though. So we'll
see.
You
think she's in a showmance?
I'm going to say no. I don't think she'll be in a showmance.
Okay. And Alex, what's your take?
I think she, like, if we're doing superlatives, she's my most likely to be recipient of twists.
Recipient because of twists.
Because I think she'll be liked.
She wants to be like Brittany.
She identifies with the people who were recipients of twists last time. So I think she's as good a candidate as most.
Okay.
Except maybe like a Nick Graham or a Tim.
All right. Let's talk about our next guy in the house. And this is Ramsey Burene.
Ramsey Burene, I think is what he said.
Okay,
I don't know. This is like when you first said tried to say Netta's name, Rob. It's tough.
It's still tough. Ramsey, he is fun and charismatic. This strategic player wants to downplay his athleticism and play like he's just there to have fun. He's a 26-year-old digital marketing person.
Yeah. Now with Ramsey, first off, okay, this guy is a recruit, so he has not seen much of the show, just based on what I've seen and just the interviews I've read. I'm 99% sure he's a recruit. He actually met Sarah Hanlon like before the show.
Oh boy.
So he's talked to Sarah Hanlon and picked her brain a little bit. So I don't know if that's common knowledge. So at least he's got that going for him, at least, in that he has studied up a little bit. And he did cite Kevin as somebody who he does like, which I'm a fan of because I love Kevin Martin. But yeah, I don't know if he really is going to know enough about this game. I think in general, very smart guy. I think he's got a lot going for him. Very likable if you watch his interviews. So I think he's not going to have too much trouble fitting in and getting along with these people. It's just going to be a question of, can he figure out this game and can he get himself into the right position? I don't know why. I could kind of see, like, you know, with Godfrey, how Godfrey, you know, just fell asleep for the first little bit. I could see this happening with Ramsey, but I could see him waking up in the second half of the game and really turning things on. So I'm intrigued by him.
Also of note, Adele, that like Adele, that Ramsey is a Muslim player in the house. And so we'll see. I do like those storylines on Big Brother Canada, something that we don't really get a ton of in the Big Brother US version. Maybe that he will make a friend like Kyle that that will also say some prayers with him. Remember, remember Kyle learned the prayer at the Big Brother Canada 2 finale? Yeah,
he learned it at the finale, and now he's going out in the world and making great Facebook statuses because he's such a devout Muslim and a great person for it.
Yes, Muslim adjacent Kyle. Okay, so then in terms of what he's going to bring to the table, I wonder though, is that sort of like the selling point on him as a character type? If he is a recruit, is that something because that, you know, they're looking for, you know, a wide cross section of people? Is he just somebody who's different than everybody else in the house?
Yeah, he's definitely different than everyone else. And, you know, I can't really think of anybody who is like Ramsey that I've seen on either version of the show before. I think the easy one that people are going to make is, oh, he's like Kacer. But I don't really think he's like Kacer. I think that this guy is different. He's on his own. I don't know. Kacer on the show. I mean, never mind. I won't talk too much about Kacer because I'll just end up saying bad things and put my foot in my mouth. But Ramsey, yeah, I think that the part of the thing too, I think, with the casting this season is they didn't want as many super fans on the show, because I think that when you have, like last season of Big Brother Canada 3, when you have all super fans and all of these people who have seen all of these
they
seasons
spend
and know
all
how to
night
play
doing
games,
podcasts on the live feeds,
they spend all nights on the podcast doing live feeds, they talk about past seasons, it's boring to watch, nobody wants to see that. So when we get these diverse personalities, interesting people, it makes the show fun to watch. And somebody like Ramsey, because he hasn't seen too much of the show, leaves him open to, you know, maybe making some mistakes, maybe not as bad is that mistake that guy made from BB Can 3 during week 5 last season, but you know, mistakes nonetheless, and that's fun to watch.
Okay, Alex, May 1st, who's the more popular Ramsey, Big Brother Canada Ramsey or Ramsey Bolton?
Oh, does Ramsey Bolton have a head by May 1st?
I don't know.
Well, I think he'll be more popular if he's dead at that point. Yeah. But I think this Ramsey represents like the kind of player that is like the widest range of possibilities in this game, because we've seen these big guys kind of go out early. He certainly, like Jordan said, he sounds like someone who could be a recruit. You always hate seeing like, who's your favorite player? And they're like, I'm going to play like Ramsey. You know what I mean? Like that's usually not the greatest sign, but at the same time, then you have the John Party exception to the rule. And then you wonder, you know, surely if he can do it, anyone can do it. So I think there's just not enough information. And, you know, I think this could go any number of ways for Ramsey.
Okay. A wide variety, high variance for Ramsey in Big Brother Canada 4.
Exactly.
Okay. We'll see where it goes. Okay. So why don't we talk about our next person who's coming up? Let's talk about Maddie. Maddie, that according to Big Brother Canada, she's strong and confident. That's how she'll play the game. She's fun. She's witty. And she's not afraid to get dirty. Whoa.
Whoa, indeed.
Yeah. What are they saying here about Maddie?
Well, Maddie's an interesting one. So she's from, I got to have Maddie's back because she's a fellow 604 proppa. She's from Vancouver. She's from North Vancouver. So the thing with Maddie, she's interesting. You know, she talks how she says she's seen the show before. She's a big fan, but she comes off as a little bit standoffish in some of her interviews. In one of her interview with Big Brother Daily, she said, you know, the reason why she got on the show is because, well, you know, I'm amazing. And it took them 4 years to realize that, and I need to be here. And that's why I made it this season. They finally figured it out and got it right. So she seemed like kind of a little full of herself, a little bit saying that. Not the greatest thing to say. She also said she wants to go on the show for more Instagram followers, which is never a good thing to say. I'm not a big fan of that. However, fan of RHAP, Trevor Chong, actually.
Oh, I think I was Maddie. I think it's going to be blown away.
No, not Maddie. Trevor Chong, fan of RHAP. I was talking to him, and he actually knows Maddie personally. He's a friend of Maddie's, and yes, he said that
F-O-M.
Maddie is – yeah, so Maddie is a fan of this show, and he said he thinks she's kind of playing this up a little bit. So he said she's really friendly, really nice in real life. The one thing he did say
about
her –
oh, it's like how you're a conservative pundit?
Exactly the same. Exactly same thing, and how, you know, I'm all that kind of stuff. But he did say that Maddie, just based on talking to Maddie's friends, she does not get along with girls at first. So that is a thing. So I could kind of see, I see a little bit of Danielle Alexander in her, from Big Brother Canada 1. I could see Maddie being an early boot. Hope not, but right now I think that's what I'm thinking just based on what I've seen.
Yeah. When they talk about she's not afraid to get dirty, like I really feel like are they trying to say that she is going to be promiscuous? Or are they trying to say that she's not afraid to make big moves and get her hands dirty?
I think it's both. She did say how she wants to, you know, she wants to meet some guys. She's up to a showmance, and she did say she wants to make some big moves and be cutthroat.
I mean, just taking a look at the picture that they go with, if you haven't looked at these pictures, I mean, I do feel like it's rare that she's wearing sort of like a midriff type shirt, that we don't have a lot of exposed navel in the Big Brother Canada or Big Brother US profile pictures.
No, I think she might be the first.
Some guys, you know, some guys have it. But I do feel like that it's a provocative profile picture.
Oh yeah, most definitely not something you would normally see from a Canadian reality TV casting photo.
Ask Trevor Chung about this.
We will indeed.
Alex, any thoughts on Maddie?
The fact that her favorite player is Jillian, I think, and that she thought, you know, yes, Jillian was nice and humble and got away with it because of her niceness. I think that, again, is like another example of someone just misreading what they were seeing, you know, because I think Jillian certainly, like, she could have been more humble.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you know, I thought it was interesting that she talks about if she won, she would start a mini empire of Maddie businesses. I don't know what they'd be, but I'd figure it out. Like,
yeah.
Does that mean like a chain of things named after her? Or just like, I don't know, but I almost want to see what that means.
But a woman who can't get along with the other women in a Big Brother house, that's a good recipe to be a first boot in any given Big Brother season, right, Jordan?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, let's look at, you know, Big Brother Canada 1, Kat Yee. She was the first one out because she couldn't really get along with the girls, came across as a little too aggressive. Big Brother Canada 2, and Nick rubbed some people the wrong way. She didn't get along with a lot of the other girls. She goes home first. Big Brother Canada 3, Risha, exact same thing, rubs people the wrong way. And, you know, maybe not even just the girls, but yeah, a lot of people just, you know, we put her up because she just didn't give off the greatest first impression. And that's just what happened. So if that happens with Maddie, she could be in trouble.
Okay. How dare you? Risha Denner is a saint.
Oh, Risha's great. Risha's great. I'm just saying that's what it was like on night one, man. That's how we saw it.
OK, let's keep going. Let's talk about our next person up here. And let's talk about Raul Manriquez. He's funny and social. Raul's here for the experience. He plans to avoid strategizing, just wants to go with the flow.
Yeah, this is your classic Rachel Riley floaters get a life vest type of floater. I don't really see Raul doing anything too much this season. He says he's not strategic, has no strategy. He says it's too complicated to think about that kind of stuff. He says he's seen a little bit of the show, but like not really too much. The thing that he does have going for him is he's very likable. He's very funny. I thought he was great in his video. I think Canada's going to love him. I just don't know if he's got the strategy going on to take him deep into the game.
Yeah. Alex, what's your take on Raul?
Well, for starters, he has my new favorite last name to say, which is Manriquez. It is a fantastic last name.
Great name.
Maybe my favorite that I've ever heard. You know, I think Jordan brings up a good point. You don't really see anything in his bio that suggests that he could be strategic, but I didn't really see anything from Ty Tran. And, you know, I mean, I think it's evident of like, you know, there are plenty of people who can go out there and just be themselves and be naturally likable enough and social enough to just like figure it out. And John Pardee was one of those too. So, you know, my perspective, I think, has changed in recent years, just seeing some of these players who didn't have knowledge of the game come in and do well, in that I feel like there are some elements of what these games bring that are, you know, you can know everything there is to know, but you can't really put it into practice unless you just have some of that gift. And I don't know that Raul won't have that.
He cites Kenny Brain as the person that he most wants to play like, but mostly because he says he was hot.
And there you go. I mean, Raul is a young guy. He's 21. I mean, that's what you expect. I wouldn't expect him to say anything different. I get it. And I think that's going to come through a little bit in his game, I think, is the youth thing. Alex, you talk about Ty Trang on Survivor. Ty Trang's in his 50s. I mean, this guy's got a lot of life experience. John Pardee wins Big Brother Canada 2 without seeing much of the show. But he's older. John's like, I think he was 24 when he won. Jillian, she's in her, you know, mid to late 20s when she won, didn't have a lot of experience with the show. So I do think that I think he's going to be in tough. I think it's his age, the strategy. He's just got to hope that these twists are really going to benefit him and he gets into a really solid alliance early on.
Now, I think that the story of gay men on Big Brother Canada, I think, has been an interesting one, because I feel like that the people who have come into the house and have been, you know, I'm a gay person in the Big Brother house on the men's side, I think that they have had a hard time fitting in with the bro-y alliances. We saw it in Big Brother Canada 1. We saw it in Big Brother Canada 3. Kenny in Big Brother Canada 2 didn't tell people that he was gay and was actually part of the bro-y alliance. This season, it doesn't seem like that there's the same kind of guys in terms of like the traditional Big Brother meathead alliance. It doesn't look like we have that many people where you could see that coming a mile away. Maybe it's different if Jace gets into the house and we have like the second coming of the Four Horsemen, but it'll be interesting to see if Raul is going to be somebody who gets along better with the women in the house and is sort of ostracized from the male group, or if he's somebody that's going to fit in with whatever guy alliance is going on in the house.
Yeah, I think a guy, I think maybe we disagree on this one. I think there definitely is going to be a bro-y alliance that's happening this season, and we'll get into that when we get to those people. I don't think Raul is going to fit in with those guys. And I think if those guys get power, he could be in trouble early on. But, you know, again, we could see someone like LaVita lead like a counter alliance against that. And I could see Raul getting along great with her. So okay. You never know.
All right. Let's turn the page and let's go ahead and talk about our next Big Brother Canada house guest. And it is Paige. Here she is. The lovely Paige Dostransky. She is from Northern Ontario. She's a nature lover who's experienced in hunting and trapping will help her anticipate her fellow players' moves. I doubt that. I strongly doubt that there will be a parallel from like,
Rob. No, like, obviously this hunting and trapping skills helps you on an obscure Canadian reality TV show.
Like I put down this 3-point buck. So this is what you do on your HOH. Trust me.
If you can skin a squirrel, you can survive a blindside, Rob. It's right there. It's cut in stone.
Okay. Now, interesting background. So she's into hunting, trapping, but she's a veterinarian tech assistant. That seems to be a lot of different things seemingly going in different directions, right?
Yeah, for sure.
She's either like killing animals or helping animals.
Yeah, it's one or the other. We don't know which it is, but you know, Paige is young, so whatever. I won't hold it against her. I love Paige. I think she's great. She's got a lot going on for her. She's a huge fan of this show.
Rob is a podcast.
Don't know if she's Rob is a podcast fan. But her sister did follow me on Twitter as soon as she took over her account, so she's got that going for her.
Okay.
I kind of see with Paige, I kind of see a little bit of Heather from Big Brother Canada 2, but also like infused with I hate to use Survivor comparisons, but Julia Sokolowski from this Survivor season. I kind of see that in her a little bit. So she's a big fan of the show, got a strategic mind as well. I don't think people are going to see her as a huge threat, but I could see her going deep into the game. The question is, you know, she's 19 years old. I think, you know, I played this game at 21 and I felt like I was way too young to play the game. And I think, you know, obviously it showed in my performance. I think that, you know, there's even from 19 to 21, there's a huge learning curve in those years that you do from your, you know, late teens to your early 20s. So I think that, you know, I don't think Paige is going to win. I could see her going deep. I could see her being a part of a big alliance. And I'm excited to see her. I think she's going to be a fun and likable personality in the house.
Alex, Jordan says that Paige is shaping up to be a huge strategic threat. Are you buying that or?
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what we do. I think it's just. I see where he's coming from. I assume Jordan has seen the picture of her wearing the Judd Bear shirt.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
So
yeah,
is Jordan. That where you're coming from, Jordan? Do you think because she knows enough to be wearing that Judd shirt?
Isn't it possible she just likes bears?
See, I'm thinking like, right. Like the Judd fan is the Donnie fan is the James fan. Potentially like she could be a avid watcher that is not like a feeds person. You know what I mean? Like there are plenty of people that are like, I'm a fan of this game, but then they get in there and it's like, oh, they've never seen Feeds, and they're a fan of like a kind of a fabricated version of what this really is. So I wonder if that'll be possible. I would hope that she's like Julia, because I met Julia in New York and I was enchanted by her. I thought she's really, really articulate and smart. And I would love to see lots more, you know, 18, 19, 20 year olds like her be cast, because I think that creates great dynamics and levels of competition across the board. But I don't know if I see it here from Paige. There's really nothing in the bio that leads me to suggest that. And I'm not ready to make that commitment based on a Judd shirt.
Yeah. I really find it hard to imagine a Paige win here, 19-year-old woman winning Big Brother Canada. I feel like there's just not enough life experience there to be able to pull the trigger on winning this thing. But Jordan, I feel like you're in the Paige camp.
I am in the Paige camp. I'm on put me on Team Paige. I think she's going to do well. She's going to win. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. You never know. Danny Donato, I mean, she did really well when she was pretty young. So mind you, she had her dad helping her. So
yeah, I think it's a little bit of a different story. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about somebody else who I think will be an interesting conversation. Let's talk about Joel Lefevre. Do you have the fever?
Yeah, Joel Lefave, I believe is how we say it. That's how he said it in his video.
LeFanFave?
Lefavre.
Yeah, if we want to call it Lefevre. Yeah, I do have Lefevre. I'm a big Joel fan. Of course, I got to be a big Joel fan. I mean, this is a guy who is a big super fan of the show. I mean, really, let's just look at Joel on paper. This guy is he's me in 10 years, essentially, is this guy. He works in radio. He's like a news anchor. It would be a radio. He wants to get into acting. He's a complete dork. But I think that, you know, the problem with Joel is that he's going in fresh off a Steve Moses win. He's coming in fresh off a Sarah Hanlon win. These people with glasses winning this game, these super fans. So I think that's really not going to go bode too well for him. And I think, you know, I'm really hoping for Joel, because he did shout me out in his bio. Yeah. So I like that a lot.
All right, well, let me just set up Joel here that say his likable disposition and nerdy attitude will let him fly under the radar until he needs to shift into gear to take the win. They asked him, who is your Big Brother Canada idol and why? He said, that's hard because there's been so many memorable house guests. I'd say the one I can relate to closest is probably Jordan Parhar. He's a little bit quirky and he made some dumb moves. How dare he?
He's right, though. He's right. Yeah. He's right, Rob, which is great.
But I liked how he took everything with a grain of salt, and his passion and his excitement for Big Brother Canada was something I could definitely connect with. I will hopefully learn from his mistakes, though.
See, there you go. That's what you need. Just learn from my mistakes. This is it, Rob. He's 10 years older than me. He's got that life experience. He's going to learn from my mistakes. Joel's going to kill it. I think. Well, but for real, though, I think. You know, I think if Joel was on my, I think if we swap places, and I know from the intel that I've gotten, Joel actually almost got on Big Brother Canada 3 and had to back out at the last minute. So if he, you know, in an alternate universe, perhaps Joel would have been on BB Can 3 and would have been broing down in Newport with Zach, and I would be on this season with Dallas and Philip and all these other guys. I think the problem with Joel is he's 33, which normally I would say this is great, because you see these nerdy super fans like myself, Ian, Steve, and, you know, it's tough to get acclimatized to the house and all these personalities. Joel's older, so he's not as awkward. He's way stronger socially. No offense to Ian and Steve, but he is. I think we can just tell from these videos and just what I've seen from him. Socially, he's got it, and I think that's huge, and he gets that the social game is very important. The problem is I don't think anybody's going to invite Joel to an alliance unless he really, you know, gets in good with people right off the bat. I think that is going to be key for him. If he doesn't do that, I think Joel's going to be in trouble. He could be an outcast, and unfortunately it might not get blindsided. It might not make his move as stupid as I did, but he could be in the Jordan Parhar spot of first one on the jury.
Alex, do you think that it will be a net positive or a net negative for Joel if they look at his picture and say, this guy is like Jordan?
That might be a net positive, but I don't know if he escapes the Steve and the other comparisons. You know, I think this is the first example of someone where, like, we've seen this before, right? With like Andy and Jordan to a degree, where it's like, let me dress like a 6-year-old playing dress up and everyone's just going to think I'm just completely terrible. You know what I mean?
Is that what you were going for?
a goofy bow tie and a sweater vest.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of. I was going in there to have people say, all right, this guy is like a complete
adorable
threat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You didn't go in there with like a full bodied leather trench coat. You know what I mean? You were sending the image that like I'm approachable, I'm personable, and I'm not dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's what Andy Heron was doing when he had that like t-shirt with like the organs that were all hugging together inside the ribcage. You remember that?
Yeah, worst shirt ever.
But I mean, yeah, I think Joel is actually the first guy who's mistaken in doing this, because we've had so many people do so well lately who come in looking so unassuming that now it's like unassuming is the new assuming or something like that. And I just don't know that that's going to be good for him. If he's as athletic as he claims to be, I'd wonder if he might not do better just coming in looking like Bobby, just like, oh, I just woke up, man. Is this where Big Brother's supposed to be? Like, I feel like that's the route.
Well, Jordan, how much guidance do you get from Big Brother Canada in terms of your profile picture?
I can't technically say, but I'll say a lot.
I mean, do you get, from whatever you could say, do you get a strong suggestion? I mean, you don't come in with like clothes on a hanger and say, okay, this is what you're wearing, right?
Yeah, let's just say we'll just leave it at that. I think you can kind of tell based on what I'm saying. You don't have a total, you can't just say, Joel couldn't have said, oh, I'm going to dress up like Bobby and go in there like that. Because I don't know if I would have gone in there with glasses if I had the choice to do that. And I'm sure Joel probably would have thought the same, because instantly it's like, all right, this guy's a threat. But you know, it is what it is. That's what he's going with. And hopefully he can adapt and figure it out. The fact that he's in the first group of house guests going in there, I think it's going to help him a lot, because I think that's a really underrated thing in Big Brother.
Well, how's the load-in going? Is it everybody coming in the same night?
Well, it is everyone coming in the same night, but I do believe based on how they released the cast last year, it was in 3 days, and those were how the first three groups were ordered going in the house. So I was in the first group of the cast that was revealed. I was in the first group that went in the house. Joel was in the first group of the cast that was revealed. So therefore, I believe Joel will be in the first group that goes into the house today, moments from now. They're going in, I believe, later tonight.
Okay.
Hamster Watch tweeted out something 30 minutes ago, and according to her, Joel is in group two.
Group two, breaking news.
So I'm wrong. All right. Yeah, scratch that. This is why, I'm stupid.
That's why I'm here to fact check, Jordan.
Fact check.
You know, you're good. You can't be expected to know all the minutia.
Alex, yeah, under, shots. Joel does better or worse than Jordan in Big Brother Canada 3?
Oh man, I want to say worse, because I want JP to be able to have something over somebody else. And also, I don't like the idea that he's his BBB hero is like someone 12 years younger than him. Like, come on, man.
Alex, I think by default, I think this guy's going to definitely do better than I did. I think it's not too, if he can, well, here's the thing. I'll say this, like John Cochran, I think he's a guy who is going to be any random season. He's going to be one of the first ones out, or I could see him going very deep, and I'm going to cross my fingers. I think he's going to go pretty deep into this game. I think he's one of the few people who really has studied this game and understands this game. And I think that's going to go a long way for him. The popularity thing and the twists and stuff, that's really what I'm concerned about. And just, being an outcast early on, just got to get over that hump.
I actually think the 33-year-old thing is more of a problem than I would say in other seasons, because I do feel like that with the Ian Terry, with Jordan Parhar, with the Steve Moses, I think that the guy that comes into the house who's sort of like the super fan, but is like 21, 22, I think you sort of look at him, okay, he's like a kid brother. But then the guy who comes in at 33, who's the super fan, I think that the house will find very threatening. And somebody who seems like he's up to something, I think he will do worse than Jordan.
Thank you for articulating what I was going for, Rob. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, he kind of comes across, like John Green. I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Fault in Our Stars, those books, the author John Green. But he kind of reminds me of that author. And so I feel like, if someone sees that, it's like, oh, really smart, articulate guy, kind of threatening. And if we just go on super fans that are older, their track records, Ronnie Talbot, Big Brother 11, that didn't really go so well for him. So,
All right, let's go on and let's talk about Kelsey Faith. All right, do we have faith in Kelsey? This free-spirited sweetheart is looking to make new friends and wants to win without getting any blood on her hands. Good luck with that.
Avoid winning competitions.
Yeah. Ideally, I'd like to get a lot of money and not actually have to do anything to get it. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, Kelsey is somebody who said she's barely seen any of the show. She's seen a few episodes of season one. This is one of your recruits this season, as far as I know. She's a flight attendant and a bartender. I don't know what
that,
what
that's
is
a double threat.
It definitely is a double threat. Kelsey, I like her. She seems like she's really nice. I could see her definitely get. I think her and Jared will probably have a showmance at some point during this season, and I think they could carry each other further into the game. But beyond that, I don't really see Kelsey winning this game, unfortunately.
Yeah. Do you think that she is one of our showmance people?
100%.
100%. Okay. So do you have a match in mind for her?
Yeah, so Jared and his pipeline, I think.
Take it easy, Jordan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
4:38 here on the West Coast.
Sorry. The pipeline worker, yes. Jared. I could see him and Kelsey being a match. I think they're this season's Zashley, if you will.
Zashley, okay. So what's that? Carrot? Jelsey?
Jelsey.
I do think that she definitely could be the new Ashley. Other than that, I don't know how much there is to go on here with Kelsey. She thinks that Gary is her big brother idol, and as much as Gary is fun, I don't really know if we get anything from that.
Well, she said she's only seen in an interview with Matt Carter. She said she's seen like one or two episodes. So I don't know.
How do you go? Like, if it was like, oh, I only saw one or two seasons. I didn't see all three seasons. But you're going to go live in this show. For how busy could somebody be that they can't be bothered to watch even three episodes of the show they're going to be on?
Yeah, Rob, I agree. I think it's completely asinine. It's just like lazy. How do you do that? But at the same time, I don't know. She's a flight attendant and bartender. She's got two jobs. Maybe she's too busy. And I don't think John Party watched like really any episodes before he went
in. She's probably the winner. That's Big Brother Canada.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, I'm trying to think, have there been past flight attendants on Big Brother? I do feel like maybe that's the kind of, like, everyone's at their worst on the plane. You know what I mean? Like, that probably is something that gives you a thick skin for, like, social, you know.
Yeah, and also, too, like, socially, I mean, she's really, really nice. Like, very kind. Mm-hmm. Kind-hearted. She said she wouldn't want to have a showmance with somebody, even if it would advance her game, because she feels like she wouldn't want to play with someone's heart. And as someone who is a victim of that, I greatly appreciate that very much from Kelsey. So I think that's a good sign. I think that socially, I think she's going to do well. And because of that, I think she's definitely going to make the jury at worst.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think she's got a lot of upside for somebody who is bringing almost nothing to the table in terms of strategy. Look, that's not always the guy that we're saying probably has a ton of strategy is Joel. It's intimidating. That half the game is just putting people at ease so they're not threatened by you and you end up on the block.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's the social game and how people perceive you. It's so very important.
You know, I think that, you know, we see people like Heather make it to the final four in these, seasons where it's like somebody who seems like they're up to something is going to be up on the block multiple times. And people who feel like that, you know, there's not as much going on. They're not playing strategically. Those are the people that tend to last. Okay, let's go into Philippe Paquette. He's the outspoken heartbreaker. He's not looking to be sensitive to the feelings of others and will do whatever it takes to win. Okay, he is not just a student. He's also a DJ from Ottawa. He's not here to make friends. What do you think, Jordan, of Felipe?
Phil is this season's I think he'll be head of the bro alliance that gets formed. I think there's going to be some type of brigade that comes together this season. Phil's gonna lead the charge. Phil is a little bit cocky. He seems like he's, he calls himself charming in his interview with Matt Carter, which I've never heard an actual charming person refer to themselves as charming. But he does seem entertaining. He does seem funny. But I don't get it. Like, he says, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm super confident, all this stuff. But then he also says, like, oh, I don't want to get a showmance with girls, a girl until day 42. Day 42, it's okay. But, before then, I definitely can't have a showmance.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jackie Robinson of showmances. But yeah, I think Phil is going to be kind of like maybe a little bit of a more toned down version of Jeremy Maguire from Big Brother 15. Alex, what do you think about that?
That's serious hot take there, sir.
I get that vibe. He's the most bro-y of all of these guys. And I think that he's going in there thinking he's got this game on lock a little bit, when in reality, I don't really think so.
Yeah, no, definitely. If I go back to, you know, the idea of superlatives, this is your most likely to be Andrew Gordon doubt by Canada, I think, for sure. And I don't think there's a particularly close second.
Right.
Although I got to say, you know, between him and Raul, you've got a great Spanish name, Felipe Paquette. This is a fantastic French name, man. You got some great names this season.
Great season for international names. Could potentially, if Jace gets into the house, could there be some sort of like a training day of like like old douchey guy and young douchey guy teaming up?
Well, it's funny because Jace said in one of his interviews that he went into Big Brother 5 thinking that Scott Long was the kind of guy he wanted to work with. But in reality, he said he hates those kinds of guys. He doesn't like anyone like that. And now that he's older, he can see that. So I think Jace would get in there, see Phil, and be like, I don't really like this guy. Let's get rid of him. Although it would be quite hilarious if there was a training tape.
Did I ever tell you the story of when Scott Long helped me move one time?
Oh, I've heard it, but please tell it again.
We don't need to digress there. Felipe. Okay, do you see a showmance for Felipe, whether it's day 42 or earlier, Alex?
I think it'll depend on the dynamics. If a lot of guys go out early, I think, you know, it's going to be easier because his arrogance is going to be less, you know, it stands out less. You look better by comparison. The more guys go away, the more options you would have, I think. But I think he's a good looking guy, and a couple of the guys in there are gay, so his chances are good, right? I mean, it's not Big Brother 2 where everyone's got a boyfriend, so
okay.
He could be worse off.
We'll see. What you think that he's going to flirt with some of the guys who might find him attractive?
I don't know if he'll do that, but I think he should. I mean, why not, right? You know, if you're a good looking guy,
he doesn't
care
about other people's feelings. He's a heartbreaker.
that bodes poorly.
Yeah. Jordan, what's your take on somebody who comes into the game saying, I don't care about other people's feelings? Is that a good way to go into the Big Brother house?
Well, I actually do like that. I think as much as I was kind of ragging on Phil a little bit, I found him entertaining. I think he's funny. I think he's going to be really good TV, and I'm excited to see what he's got going on. I like that answer because, you know, at least he's being honest with himself. A lot of these people go in there saying, oh, you know, like, I'm really nice and I don't want to do anything. Like Jared's like, oh, you know, I'm really polite and whatever. And yeah, sure, maybe Jared's a polite guy, but at least Phil is willing to admit.
Okay. So let me rephrase this. So you can't outwardly project that if he actually doesn't care about hurting people's feelings, but we'll at least pretend that he does care about that one in the house.
Yeah, I think as long as he pretends when he's in the house, then I think that's fine. And we'll see when he gets in there. He has said he's a little outspoken. But, you know, I get a good, you know, I think he's kind of just, I think he's just saying that. And you know what? Just to like, kind of like to build himself up a little bit. I think when he actually gets in there, I don't think I get a feeling he's, I don't know. But he does have that Jeremy thing going on. So who knows?
Who knows?
I do think he's impulsive. And I think that's what's going to ultimately hurt him in the game.
On day 42, is he making a showmance in the jury house, Jordan?
No, because he won't be in the jury house.
You think he'll be
evicted before then?
Yeah.
Sorry, Phil.
Okay, Alex, agree or disagree?
I see making it up to Canada's HOH and no further.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to our next person. And let's talk about Christine Kelsey. Okay. That she is this self-professed game freak is looking to align with the opposite personality to hers, who she can pretend is her enemy in the house. All right, Jordan, let's talk about the game freak. The freakiest freak, is she? I don't know. Game freak?
She could be the freakiest freak. I know she wants a showmance, so I think that...
Wow, a showmance!
She does want a showmance, yeah. So she's the oldest house guest. I mean, we've got the youngest house guest in Big Brother history, in Big Brother Canada history here, in Paige. We have the oldest house guest in Big Brother Canada
history. Who's the oldest guy in the house?
The oldest guy, I believe, is Joel. At 33, which is not going to bode well for his game, yeah.
Boy, that's going to put Jordan and Cindy with an S to shame. when yeah when
Joel and Christine get it on,
Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, with Christine, the thing is you know, the Game Freak thing and this talk of like wanting to align with somebody who she's enemies with, I didn't see that anywhere else in her interviews. In her other interviews, she said she kind of wants to do her own thing. She wants to lay under the radar. So I don't really know what's going on with that. Unfortunately for, again, got to support Christine because she's a 604 proppa, but I'm calling my shot. I think Christine is, she's the first boot of this season. I think she's the first one who's out, unfortunately.
It's hard to tell. Hard to tell exactly where she goes. I mean, that there's a couple different roles that she could slip into. It's hard to tell even from what she's wearing if she's going for, is she going for a mom thing? Is she going for a showman's thing? I'm not exactly sure from Christine.
Yeah, it's interesting because
it's a tricky blouse to read.
It is. But I mean, she says she wants a showman's, but
what do you guys
also
think in the chat room? Is this, what is this? Tell me, with people who know about fashion, what is she saying with this shirt? That she may or may not have picked out for herself.
What is production saying about this woman?
What is production saying about this woman's shirt? Yeah.
But the thing with it, like she said she has kids. Like she said she would be willing to swear on her kids. So yeah, I don't really know what's going on here. She seems like she reminds me of Lori from Big Brother 3 a little bit. I could see her just because she's older than everyone else, significantly older. She's 14 years older than the next oldest person in Joel. Mm-hmm. So I think that already bodes really poorly for her game, unfortunately, just because there's that generation gap. She's going to have to come across really strong early on. Otherwise, I think that she's going to be a very easy target and somebody that's going to inevitably get picked off right off the get-go.
I also think it's going to be tricky for her as somebody who is a lot older than everybody else in the house. I mean, if she does play that mom game, then if she is going to be betraying people as the game freak, I think that people tend to not like that, especially in the Big Brother jury. I think that that's something that's not going to go over well with the house. So I think she's in a really tough spot here.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go too well for Christine. I mean, seems like a nice enough lady, but not holding my breath here. Alex, what do you think about her?
I like Christine. There's a lot of me that wants to pick her to win, to be honest with
you. Whoa. Well, what really? Are you seeing that we're missing?
I don't know if it's just because she looks, I mean, Paul Board just posted this in the patron group and I invited you to go look at it side by side. She is the spitting image of Vicky Guerrero, the wife of late wrestler Eddie Guerrero. I mean, they are close.
It's a deep cut reference.
Yeah, it is, but it's identical. And I think there's, you know, I think the age thing can go either way. You know what I mean? I think, like we saw from Sarah Miller, that like, you know, if people are receptive to, you know, age is just a number and you're someone who's agreeable in general and not, you don't rub people the wrong way, then you can often, you know, fly under the radar.
But the big thing though, Sarah Miller, I mean, Sarah, I think, was 32 when she played. I mean, Christine is 47. I think there's a huge difference in the age gap there. I think it's easier for Sarah to relate to first five people in their mid-20s when she's 32 compared to Christine, who's 47, trying to relate to, you know, people like Paige, who are 19.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I just think I really like the idea of, you know, trying to find an alignment that other people don't see is obviously something that people have tried in the past. If it's something, you know, I mean, she's lived enough years where I feel like she would have life experience and know how to, you know, to a degree kind of handle people. I mean, and then on top of that, you know, like I like the idea of like the Danielle Reyes, and we don't see people try it often enough for my money. I feel like if there's upside with her, it's getting with some young guy that no one would see coming who can really like build those social connections for her while she just pretends that she's not really in it. And he can kind of keep her safe from that end while she's like, you know what I mean? She needs to find a good partner for the game. But I think that's
couple last things on Christine and then we got to move on. Interesting. Christine Kelsey. There's also a Kelsey Faith. So I don't know.
That'll get confusing. Yeah.
Like, it's a good thing Jeff Probst isn't there to narrate any of these challenges. It'd be very confusing. she's the housekeeper. So how do you think that's going to play, Jordan? Is she going to be the person that's going to be like, you damn kids, you didn't clean the, you left all these dishes in the sink for me? Or is she the person who's like, oh, no, leave it. I'll call. Well, look, I'm used to it.
She did say that she doesn't want to be cleaning because that's what she does for a living, but she did say she's open to it and she'll do it. So I think she'll be, I think she knows that in order to make herself valuable to the other house guests, she's going to have to clean up after them. They're going to be messy. There's a bunch of young kids in there who, some of which still live at home. So yeah, I think if she adopts that role, I think that's one way she could succeed in this game.
Okay,
Maybe it means she'll be more inclined to know where things are around the house, so that when the hidden veto shows up, she'll be the one to make a beeline for it because she sees something's out of place.
Okay. Let's go to Mitchell Moffitt, and that he is a self-proclaimed ringleader. This successful YouTube personality and scientist will use his social prowess to be the master social strategist. Well, it's hip to be a YouTuber on the reality TV circuit these days. Look at us. We're on YouTube right now. But I guess we are no Mitchell Moffitt.
No, this guy has 5 million subscribers on his YouTube channel, ASAP Science, which I highly recommend you go check out.
Better or worse than Nickipedia?
Oh, 10 times better than Nickipedia. Get out of here, Rob.
How dare you.
This guy, Mitchell Moffitt, this guy's videos are awesome. I mean, I was actually just watching a video a few weeks ago. Had no idea that he was on the show on his channel, ASAP Science, talking about the damages of sitting. And if you sit all the time, how bad that is your health. So, yeah, Rob, you and I are in big trouble. you should definitely watch it. It's really good.
Worst news I had all day today.
But this guy, Mitch, is a big fan of RHAP. So this is really good. So
is he really? Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm actually serious. I don't know how big of a fan of RHAP he is, but he follows Alex, Taryn. I don't know if he follows Brent, but he does follow me as well. So he is familiar.
Does he follow me? Rob. Maybe he's just a fan of you guys.
Oh no! Obviously he follows you, Rob. Come on, get out of here. Mitch is an RHAP fan, so he's got that going for him.
I did not know this.
Yeah, so we've got that going for him. Probably, who knows if he'll shout you out on the feeds as much as I did last season. I really like everything I've seen from him. He seems like he's really well put together. He's the perfect age where he can relate to everybody in the house. He's got a boyfriend at home, so he's not going to get distracted by a showmance. He's a big fan of the show. He cites Netta as one of his favorite player ever, which is always a good sign when you're citing Netta Kalantar. So I really like Mitch, and he is my pick to win this season.
Oh.
Seems the chalk pick, I think, I'm seeing online.
He does seem like the guy I would pick, too. That I didn't come in with a pick, and I felt like that he was the person I felt the best about, based on, and I didn't think it was close. I didn't think there was anybody else that really piqued my interest, but I think that he seems like it is all lined up for him to do it, and probably then it will end up being the first boot. Right? Like, it makes too much sense for him to just be the winner.
It was the talk of evolution, wasn't it, Rob? That's what got you.
Yeah. So, no, Mitchell, I feel very good about him. I worry about he could be, Canada's Nick Juhas. And I'm not talking about that he makes science videos.
No, I don't think I completely disagree with you, Rob. I don't know if you've seen enough of his videos, but this guy has no ego. He's not there for the fame. He's already killing it on YouTube. He's here because he's a big fan of the show, and he seems pretty down to earth. So I don't see the Nick Juhas thing at all. The only comparison is that Nick Juhas also makes videos about science, and they're much crappier than the videos that Mitch makes. So that's the only comparison.
I feel like you're trying to pick a fight with Nickipedia.
Nick Juhas has no idea who I am.
Jordan Paha, you're a scrub. You're a cockroach. No chicken palm for you.
I'm sure Nick is a very nice guy, but Mitch is way better than Nick.
Okay. No, I do like Mitchell. I was going to make him my pick, but now I feel like, I can't make him the pick. What's the rule on that?
Well, I feel like, let's see. You've never had the same pick as somebody on one of these Big Brother Canada podcasts before.
That's right.
I think you had in season one, you took Alec and Ian took
other way around. I think I took Peter. You're right.
You had Alec, and then Ian took a nudge, aka AJ. And then season two, you had
John Party.
You took John Party, and I think
Brian might have taken Netta.
Brian took Netta, which was amazing that you guys both did that. And then
nailed it.
Three, you took Willow and Mike took Bruno. Was that who Mike took? I don't know. I don't know.
I felt good about the Willow thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good pick. Willow should have gone to the final two if it wasn't for that.
Got a LinkedIn request from Willow this week.
Oh, really?
It's my LinkedIn friend.
There you go. Yeah. Friends on LinkedIn. Willow's great. I love Willow.
Okay. All right. So let's go through the last couple people and then we'll do, and then we'll lock in picks. Okay. Let's talk about our next person, Shari Ash. They tell us that she's dynamic, vibrant, and full of energy. Her strategy is to be flexible. Semper Gumby. We know how that works out. She's looking to dominate competitions and to rely on her intelligence to get her through the game. She's 30. She's from Toronto and she is a customer service supervisor.
All right. So Shari, I mean, there's a lot of things I like about Shari. The only thing that holds me back is the idea of wanting to be, I think she might come across as a little too strong, but she does work in, you know, she works in retail, which I think is like a really, being a manager in that, I think it's like a really underrated profession for reality TV playing one of these games. Cause you're dealing with not only the like crazy customers all the time, but the managing these personalities that you have to deal with on a regular basis. So I think that helps her a lot. And her girlfriend is actually a huge Big Brother super fan. So I think that she's got that going for her. I think she'll do well. I don't know. We'll see if she can pick up the game as it progresses and how she does early on. But if she can build some good relationships and team up with, some of these stronger players like a Mitch, I think she could do very well.
Alex, tell me what you're feeling. Are you thinking sensational Shari?
I don't know. You know, I think I would have agreed with Jordan's point about, you know, people who work in customer service more before I saw Becky, who basically has the same job and, you know, posted up with some wine while she told Vanessa to run away.
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just kind of undid herself. And, you know, that obviously is my most recent experience, so that doesn't fill me with a ton of confidence. But yeah, we don't have much to go on besides profession. I hope that staying flexible is not a precursor for bugs in the ear. I've only heard one person mention that preseason and it did not go well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't see anything that really jumps out to me from Shari as like a red flag. You know, like she certainly seems like one of the people who is going to be in the mix. She has, you know, a real chance to win because she's not like saying things that, you know, generate concern for me.
Yeah. Okay, she wants to be like John because she didn't see him getting into fights or creating drama. And yeah, she's competing, but she wants to have a good time. So we'll see. We'll see. Anything else on Shari?
Like Jeremy.
Good?
Nope.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's move along because we're getting up against the amazing race coming up here on the East Coast. Let's go to Dallas. Dallas Cormier. His loud laugh and beaming personality can brighten anyone's day. His strategy is to win over the hearts of the house guests and win over Canada. So in addition to Jace competing in Big Brother Canada, Spencer from Big Brother 15 has also joined the cast. He grew his beard back. So how exciting is this, Jordan?
Oh, it's amazing. It's Spencer Clausen's 24-year-old younger brother who has stolen Vanessa Russo's wardrobe is coming into the Big Brother Canada 4 house. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So he says he's the life of the party. He's the class clown. He's upbeat. I'm having a hard time getting a good read on this guy. Like, I don't know. Is he coming in? Basically, is he like the Big Brother version of Kyle Jason? Is he somebody who's coming in who's going to be sort of like more like the class clown? Jordan, you're shaking your head.
Yeah. He's definitely not the Kyle Jason. This is a guy who's a super fan of this show. Super likable, kind-hearted dude. Actually, Willow, speaking of Willow, has a friend who is very close with Dallas and knows him very well personally and says he's a great dude, super likable, down-to-earth guy. So I think that, he's just like, he's here to have a good time. He's a fun-loving guy. I think he's going to win over a lot of people in the house. For me, he kind of reminds me, I think he's kind of a mix of John Party and Arlie Chabanne. I think if you put those guys together, you get Dallas. And because he's got that strategy of being a super fan, he's a guy who's seen a lot of seasons of this show. And he does cite Kevin as well as somebody who he's a big fan of. So I love Dallas. He's a guy who I considered as my winner pick. I definitely see him being in that brigade style of alliance, but he's not the guy who I think people are going to look to as the biggest threat amongst that group. And because of that stability and those relationships that he builds, I think he's definitely set up to go very far into this game.
Okay. He's talking about what he'd do with the money, and he's talking a lot about partying here. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for the house, Alex?
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because John Party, it was the life of the party. You know, I mean, he came in famously trying to be that. And we saw that it really did help him cut tension at times, where he was just able to just say something stupid and get people to laugh off anything, you know, at a moment. So I think it can help you. It's all about, you know, how you apply it. And, you know, the thing that concerns me more about Dallas is that he says he can be a sore loser. And I think it's great to be aware of yourself enough that you recognize that. I just hope it doesn't, you know, manifest itself. I think he's maybe one of the players that is better served, you know, throwing HOHs early, because he could be someone that, you know, without realizing it, could find himself like in the HOH room, like godfathering it a little bit without realizing he's doing it. Because sometimes that's just something that happens and you don't kind of realize, wow, I got a little bit of HOH-itis until after the fact.
Yeah. No, I actually like Dallas a lot as well. I'm a little concerned in terms of such a big guy. And I think, I mean, he seems tall in the picture. Are people going to ever forget about him? But if it worked for John Party, who was in a you know, but he was set up pretty well, we'll see. But I say the arrow is pointing up for Dallas.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, let's talk about our final person. I think that we've left a good one for last. Let's talk about Cassandra Shahanafar. This sassy attention seeker is ready to make the other house guests do her dirty work, both in the game and in the house. She's a 22-year-old social media strategist. And tell me, is this somebody? She has an alliance that she's already working on. What is it called? The Assassins?
I actually haven't seen this. Alex, where did it say that? She wants an alliance.
That was in her
video.
That was in her video. Let me see if I could just pull it up from my notes real quick.
She
already has the name of an alliance, which I think is the ultimate kiss of death for any Big Brother contestant.
Actually, that's true. Yeah, it didn't work for Joey Van Pelt. I forget.
Yeah, the Assassinators. She's Cassandra, and it's like you can't spell Assassinators without a lot of the same letters as Cassandra. And so that she is ready to go. And this really seems like this is going to be like the Regulators 2.0, the Assassinators.
Isn't the word Assassins?
They'll be right there.
Assassins, not Assassinators?
Yeah.
Like, you can't pluralize Lone Ranger.
This is my pick. First out. Lock it in.
First out? Really?
Lock it in.
Because I disagree with you, Rob. I think she's somebody who's seen a lot of this show. If you look at some of her other interviews, she's watched a ton of Big Brother. She studied this game. Okay, Assassinators, that's definitely not a good sign, because, you know, yeah, it would be, I'm with Alex. I think it would be Assassins would be the correct term if you're going to use that. But I don't know.
No, because it's like the Assassins and the Regulators
together.
She's bringing
high upside, I think.
Yeah, it's like it's gonna be like the Regulators, but not as good. That's gonna be Assassinators. Not as good.
There's no PT in this Assassinators alliance. I like Cassandra. I thought she really came across as someone who's strong. I think she could be manipulative. I think she's kind of can play the villain role this season. So I'm a big fan of hers. What I've seen so far, could she crash and burn? Certainly, but I think she does have some good ideas, and I think that she is somebody who could do well at this game. I think she'll make jury. I'll call my shot. You're saying she's first out. Do you want to make a friendly wager on this, Rob? Maybe
for the
naked
the knowingest
wager?
Big Brother Canada. I don't know what we would call it. Know nothing. Yeah.
The biggest. So the knowingest Big Brother Canada. Know nothing.
Marsha the Moose Memorial. Yeah. Something.
Yes. Okay. So what's the bet? Tell me what the bet is.
The bet is, okay.
I'm not allowed to shave my head. That's off
okay,
the table.
I get to tweet something from your Twitter account if I win, and you get to tweet something from my Twitter account if you win.
Well, what is the stakes?
That's the stakes. Like, you get to tweet whatever you want.
No, I know, but what is the actual, the bet?
The bet? Okay, so I say she makes jury, you say she doesn't make jury.
Yeah, I say she doesn't make the jury. Okay. That's fine. I feel like... how many followers you got?
Me? significantly less than you, my friend.
Yeah. What kind of wager is this?
You get like multiple tweets.
I'm sitting at 7,000 something.
7,000. So I mean, I should get like 7 tweets.
7 tweets?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have, well, yeah, I guess you do
six,
have
like 7 times and a half tweets. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it, Rob. 7 tweets. You can have 7 tweets of mine, and I can have 1 tweet of yours. This is how confident I am.
All right, I will raise. How about I'll raise the stakes? How okay, about this?
What is it?
Forgive. Take Twitter off the table. Okay. If if she makes the jury, you could do a Survivor voicemails this season. If she does not, you are out for season.
Whoa!
Out okay. for season 32.
Those are stakes.
Lock it in, Rob. Here we go. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Because I mean, right? Because we'll be right there. We'll be right there.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be right there. Everyone on Sucks is really going to be rooting against Cassandra now.
She's got a weird picture too. I can't remember another picture like this where she's looking away from the camera, where that really her back is facing the camera, and she's sort of like,
craning her neck around. It's highlighting certain features of her body, I believe, Rob. I think that's what they're going for. As somebody who also has some junk in the trunk a little bit, I have been approached
about doing
like that. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's kind of why they did that.
All right. Well, you're going to hate to watch her go.
I'm gonna love to watch it. but really no, because then I can't do the voice. Whatever. If I don't do the voicemails, it's whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is Cassandra. You're gonna pin all your hopes and dreams for Survivor 32 on Cassandra. Okay, so we'll see what happens. The Assassinators. All right, let's take a couple of quick social media comments before we got to log off. I got to catch up on the Amazing Race before that show ends in 50 minutes. Let's get to Steve. Oh, Steve Moses. Rob calls Steve Dallas Moses to go for and an early out for Cassandra. Does that mean Dallas goes out first and Cassandra for the win? How dare you, Steve Moses?
See, Steve knows what's up.
how dare you? How dare you, Steve Moses? Yeah, but no, but Big Brother US, I don't have a good feel for. Big Brother Canada, I feel like sometimes I'm tapped in. Although I didn't really have a good feel for Big Brother Canada 3. Big Brother Canada 2, I was locked in.
One as well.
Yeah. Big Brother Canada 2, I really did see, like, I felt like I was in the Matrix on that one. I felt like I saw first 5 falling apart. I really saw that all coming together. All right. Ashley Bedazzle says, I now have a reason to hope that Cassandra makes the jury. Oh, okay, good.
Thank you, Ashley. You're probably one of the thousands of people who are now hoping for that. Everyone else is on the other side. It's okay.
Okay. All right, let's see. Alex, got any other final thoughts before we start to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, just wanted to mention a couple things that I've seen tweeted just since we've started doing this show. It seems that the house theme is going to be casino based, as per Hamster Watch, and that the have not room is like a Vegas chapel, like a quickie wedding chapel.
Yeah.
So I think that could be kind of interesting. The first group is Dallas and Levita and Maddie and Philippe and Cassandra. Group 2 will be Joel, Kelsey, Jared, Raul, and Sherry. And group 3 is Ramsey, Paige, Christine, and Mitch.
Okay.
And apparently they were delayed because a fan stormed the doors, which is funny.
Wow, I can't wait to hear from the Toronto Big Brother Canada people hear about that.
All right.
It was probably Ginger Ninja, honestly. He's like, let me back in, bro!
I'm a better Jace than Jace.
Yeah, who needs Jace, man?
All right, we got to wrap this up because we got to talk about Amazing Race 28 with Jessica Lease coming up in just about 1 hour. I got some commercials to fast forward through as I try to switch over quickly to that. So, Jordan, tell people how they can check out your Big Brother Canada draft. And one more time, who's going to be involved for people that just came in late?
Right. So just follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. And you could subscribe to my podcast, The Reality TV Rehappy Hour, by going to robiswebsite.com/rehappyhour. So this Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, I'll be doing a Big Brother Canada 4 draft with Willow from Big Brother Canada 3, Netta from Big Brother Canada 2, and Jason Roy from Big Brother 17
and
US.
And that's a blab?
That is going to be live on Blab, yes.
Okay. All right. So you can join in on the fun there. And of course, you could follow the great Alex Kidwell, who will be, are you set up? You're going to be watching live feeds here?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not set up yet, but rest assured, I will make sure that by the time feeds are
hell
up,
and high water can't keep you from those live feeds.
Yeah, no, I'm too tenacious for like international restrictions. They can't hold me down.
Right. Okay. All right. What's the hashtag for this show?
Oh man, that's tough. We talked about a lot of things. Yeah, I think assassinators. I think it's got to be that.
Or either assassinators or La Vida Loca.
I like that one. I was just about to say La Vida Loca. La Vida Loca. Or we could do optional hashtags. Like if you're on, you know, hashtag Jordan for voicemails, or hashtag Cassandra before jury, hashtag Cassandra make the jury. But that'll just all be hashtag Cassandra not for the jury. So let's just do hashtag La Vida Loca.
La Vida Loca. Okay. All right. Upside inside out. We're living La Vida Locas. Coming up this Wednesday night, Big Brother Canada kicks off on Global 9 p.m. Eastern, I believe. And then Jordan Parhar will be live. We'll have more information about that coming up this week. Don't forget to check out Jordan's Big Brother Canada All-Star Draft. If you miss it live, you can always catch it on Reality TV Rehap-Ups on robinswebsite.com. Or if you get the Robins Podcast app, you get the Reality TV Rehap-Ups, the post-show recaps, all in one convenient place. Okay, anything else before we log off?
No, just a good old Ginger Ninja 604 proper to all of you watching. Thanks for tuning in, and excited for the season.
Okay, lots of fun. Can't wait to get into this. The next Big Brother Canada talk that we're going to do here on Rob as a Podcast, probably something in this same time slot next Friday. We will talk about episodes 1 and 2 of the season here on the podcast. And I'm sure we'll bring in our live feed correspondents from time to time on some sort of rotation, and some Big Brother guests as well. So make sure you subscribe to the channel on YouTube. robinswebsite.com/YouTube will be live for all of our Big Brother Canada coverage, just like we are all summer long with our Big Brother US coverage. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments and hearing your predictions too. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.